Hello, and welcome to Living Beyond Limits. I am Reverend Jennifer Speer, and we are a part of Centers for Spiritual Living. I'm so glad that you have joined us here today for this online service. Normally, when we meet in person, the first thing that we do in that service is say good morning to the people that are sitting near us. And since we aren't in community with each other physically today, what I invite you to do is just to take a moment and to close your eyes and in your mind's eye to imagine some of those people that sit around you. And if you don't normally attend our services, to just hold in your mind's eye some of the people that you love and that you care about. And so imagine that you are extending your love to those people, wrapping it around them like a golden light that is warm and nurturing and loving. And to know that as you do that, that you are actually sending them a blessing. Because blessings don't really come in words. Blessings are really about the energy. And so sending them your love, witnessing their own wholeness, seeing their own spirit, all of that blesses them. And to recognize that as you do that, someone else is doing that same thing for you, sending you their blessing, wrapping you in their love, and seeing your spirit, and how when we see that in each other, it actually invites it forward. And so as we begin our service today, I'm going to invite our practitioner, Barbara Conant, to come forward. She is going to do an evocation as we begin to evoke an awareness of the presence of spirit that is always right where we are, and do a contemplative reading for us. And so I invite you right now just to kind of begin to settle into yourself, to let go of the busyness of whatever's been going on, and to just allow yourself to kind of sink in, to be present, to breathe into this moment, and to let go, and to be open.
I invite you to join me in this evocation. And I move my thoughts into my sacred heart space. I open a door to the light within. And here in the quietness of this heart space, I recognize that God is all there is. Always present at every point in its creation. Spirit is here in this very moment, manifesting as living beyond limits. This source of light and love inspires me in my life, and I share this creativity of love with all I meet as I move forward into the light of Source. I am open and aware that all people share this love of God. And as I move deeper within, I know life directs and guides me and my life. So I truly may be a blessing and a beneficial presence in the world. Today I bless everyone watching our YouTube channel. I bless Reverend Jennifer, her words, her ideas that reveal the divine intelligence which opens us to live a life of perfect awareness that Spirit is with us and for us. And so with these words, I just say, and so it is. Hello. My reading today is from Unlimited Visibility by Stephanie Sorensen, from a chapter called Our Inseparable Oneness with God. And it begins, "There is nothing more vital for us to understand than our inseparable oneness with God. The teachings of Science of Mind are based on the concept of oneness. They say, the ultimate cause back of all things must be one, since life cannot be divided against itself. And so our acceptance that all life is one life, and that we are the ultimate cause, is important to our spiritual growth and well-being. When we are steadfast in our acknowledgement and oneness with God, we do not look to the world as the source of our joy, happiness, love, and peace. We look within the eternal wellspring of life that is always pouring forth the aliveness we seek. Then we bring joy, happiness, love, and peace to our world. We are created to move in perfect harmony, live in total unity, and love unconditionally. We are one body and one life. The practice of Science of Mind is a conscious commitment to mentally reveal and express the truth of being, which is that God lives not only in us, but as us. All that we shall ever know of God, we must experience within ourselves. And when we discover the good within, we shall see God in the world everywhere we look. And so it is."
Thank you, Barbara. And so I'd like to share with you now our mission statement at Live Beyond Limits. And if you know it, I invite you to say it along with me. And if you don't know it, I invite you just to take it in. It says, "We are a sanctuary where people can discover and reveal the presence of God within their own being and experience their oneness with all life. Through the realization of this inner presence of love and peace, we give way to the evolutionary impulse of the divine and become a beneficial presence in the world." And so that's what we are up to here at Living Beyond Limits, is we are giving ourselves the opportunity through the talks and through the reading and through the classes and through all the things that we do to feel and sense and know and understand that, yes, indeed, that infinite presence lives within us, that it is innate to our own beingness and to who we are. And that, therefore, means that all of the qualities and characteristics of that infinite one are part of our makeup. That means that peace and love and wholeness and good and abundance and beauty, all those qualities of the Spirit are qualities of our own spirit. and our own divine essence. And what happens is, as we come to know that that is always within us and always right where we are, that then we become less reliant on the world reflecting those things back to us. And instead, we become a beneficial presence by bringing those qualities and characteristics into a hungry and thirsty world where it's being asked for. Because as you probably know, Marianne Williamson said, everything is either an act of love or a call for love. Everything is also an act of peace or a call for peace. The world is inviting us to bring that presence into this world in a way that is healing, in a way that is beneficial to everyone and everything. And so I say thank you to each and every single one of you for heeding the call of your own spirit to be walking this path and to be bringing your goodness and your spirit into this world in the most beautiful way. So thank you for that. And so before we get started on the talk today, I would like to just tell you that if I'm going to ask you a couple of questions during this talk, so if you have a something to write with and something to write on handy, that would be a good thing. And so I am so grateful for Centers for Spiritual Living and the philosophy that we teach here. And I am so grateful to be walking this particular spiritual path that I'm walking. It makes my life so much deeper and so much richer and so much fuller. I read a quote from Ernest Holmes this week that speaks so much to this philosophy and this religion. Ernest Holmes said, "I believe in a religion of happiness and joy. There is too much depression and sorrow in the world. These things were never meant to be and have no real place in the world of reality. Religion should be like the morning sun sending forth its rays of light. It should be like the falling dew covering the land with fragrance and sweetness, like the cool of the evening and the repose of night. It should be a spontaneous song of joy and not a funeral dirge." That's what this philosophy reminds me of. The cool of the evening, the dew on the grass, the sun shining. The words that he spoke are so beautiful. And I think this philosophy that we teach and this particular spiritual path is so beautiful, also like those words that he spoke. Because I think this philosophy is filled with hope and it's filled with possibility. And it's a religion of freedom and one that is filled with good. And so the title of my talk today is Walk This Way. Walk this way on this path. And I'm talking about how the teachings of Center for Spiritual Living support each and every one of us in living an inspired life. They support us in living a rich and a deep and a satisfying life. And they support us in creating a better world for all of us. You know, without these teachings and without the perspective of walking this spiritual path, we would really only have the ego's perspective. And that ego's perspective says that we are separate and apart from everyone and everything. The ego's perspective says that we are on our own and that we have to make it through this lifetime and through the world on our own with our own limited human understanding and smarts and wit and physical strength. When we come from only that ego perspective, what happens is we see the world as a world of competition. That we are in competition with everyone and everything, and that we have to fight for our share of the pie. And the result of that is then we see everyone out there as our adversaries, rather than our family. And I think that for most of us, the religion that we grew up in taught us that God was separate from us, that God was outside of us, up in his heaven. That religion mostly taught us that God gives to some and withholds from others. That God in the sky blesses some and damns others. And that we have to acquire the favor of that God. And I don't know about you, but for me, that perspective does not serve me like the perspective of Centers for Spiritual Living serves me in living this spiritual life. You know, as human beings, we have a need to live a spiritual life. We have a need to experience and to give voice to our own spirit, to experience that divine presence and to allow it to live itself in us and through us. We have a need within us as human beings to know our goodness and to know that, yes, indeed, we are connected with the divine, with that infinite one, at all times and in all things. As human beings who mostly function from an ego perspective, we also have a need to know and to understand that there is a bigger picture to life, a bigger picture to our own individual lives, and that we are part of something that is bigger than us. We yearn to have that realization and that felt sense that we are something bigger than us. I think that is why it feels so good to be out in nature. Why it feels so good to be out hiking and to see an expanse of mountains and trees and flowers and valleys and red rocks and formations. That's why it feels so good to lay underneath a night sky that is filled with stars. It gives us the perspective of something that is so much bigger. And it gives us that feeling that we are somehow a part of that. That we're not separate from it, but we are a part of that bigger picture. And when we see those mountains and all the different kinds of flowers and the weeds and flowers that come up out of a crack in the rock, it enables us to see that there is a creative intelligence at work within everything, and that it's everywhere we look. And as spiritual beings, as human beings living this life that who are really spiritual beings, we have a need also to know that life supports us. That life actually wants us to thrive and to be fulfilled and to be happy. Because our ego doesn't see it that way. Our ego sees it as we are in competition with everything, and we have to fight for those crumbs. I think the thing that underlies that longing that we have to experience that bigger picture, to know that there is something greater than us, is actually born out of the part of us that remembers what it was like before we incarnated in these human bodies. The part of us that knows oneness and love, unconditional love. The part of us that knows beauty and goodness and creativity and freedom. That longing to have that sense of what is expanded and bigger than us and to be part of that is that longing within us of what feels like home. And when we have that expanded experience of belonging to life and being part of something bigger than we are, a bigger picture to our own lives, we have that sense of coming home. And so my favorite concept that Centers for Spiritual Living teaches is the concept of oneness. That we are one with each other. That we are one with everything that exists. That we are one with that infinite and divine presence. That we are one with the Godhead, the allness that spirit is. And that has also been my biggest realization, not from the teachings, but from my own spiritual practice, especially the practice of meditation, is having that felt experience of oneness. Oneness with all of it, and oneness with the divine. And so that teaching of oneness is also found in the Hindu religion in the Upanishads. And what it says in the Upanishads is Brahman is Atman, and Atman is Brahman. What that means is that which is eternal, that which is irreducible, the infinite, the omnipresent core of the universe, consciousness, is the self, the spirit, the soul of every individual. Ernest Holmes said, the individual I is an incarnation of the universal I am. We are that presence in form. And so in the Science of Mind textbook, Ernest Holmes says, spiritual wisdom says that God manifests through everything and is incarnated in all people, that all is divinity, and that nature herself is the body of God. We have that sense of the divine when we're in nature, when we're looking at the stars. And when we awaken to the fact that our own essential nature is one and the same as that infinite presence, that infinite presence lives within us, and that we live within it, then we have a recognition that everything we could possibly need is already present. That we have access to all of that which God is, all of that which the good is, that we have access to peace and balance and order and abundance and prosperity and love, that intelligence also lives within us. And that means that if that intelligence of the universe is a part of our being, that the wisdom of the cosmos is a part of our being, then that means that we already have the guidance that we need. We are already being led into our perfect path and into our perfect things and the perfect ways in life. We know that we are one with the good. We also, when we recognize and know that we are made up of that, then we have this knowing that we are absolutely whole, that there's nothing missing in us, that there's nothing lacking, that we are whole and we are enough right now. But in order to hear those words of wisdom, it requires that we slow down. It requires that we get quiet. It requires that we listen within in that space of stillness. From there, we are guided and led into our perfect life. That wisdom within us is one and the same as the intelligence that makes a tomato seed grow into a tomato plant. It's that intelligence of the universe. I read this week about sea turtles. It's the intelligence that expresses itself as this. It says, sea turtle hatchlings provide one of the best examples of innate behavior. They hatch never having seen their parents, so there's no opportunity for them to have acquired, learned behavior. Yet, sea turtle hatchlings instinctively dig their way out of their buried hatchery. Even though this digging can take days, the hatchlings time themselves so that they emerge at night, when they are safest as they struggle toward the sea. There is no parent present to tell them they must wait for nightfall or that they must get to the sea. It is simply an innate knowledge, an instinct that drives them to action. That same intelligence lives within us. It speaks to our hearts. It speaks to our waiting listeningness. I would say our listening ears, but I don't really hear it in my ears. I hear it inside here mostly. Ernest Holmes said, intuition is God in man. And just as instinct guides the animal, so would intuition guide us if we would allow it to do so. And so how is it then do we decipher the voice of our ego from the voice of our intuition, from the voice of spirit within us? I think when I listen to my voice of the ego, it is often rushed and kind of frenzied. It often feels a little chaotic and there's stress around it. Maybe some angst. It feels pressured. Oftentimes, the voice of the ego is motivated by fear. It's motivated by indecisiveness and by insecurity. It's the voice that says, what if? What if this doesn't work out? What if this isn't the right decision? What if? It's the voice that says, I don't know, should I do this or should I do this? Or shouldn't I do this or shouldn't I do this? It's the voice that doesn't really know which way to go, and we wrestle with it, not knowing what the clear answer is. On the other hand, the voice of our spirit, which is the voice of spirit itself, our own intuition, has a sense of ease and calm around it. Those answers that we get from our own intuition feel peaceful. They feel right. They feel good. They feel more open and more broad than do those options of the ego. And they never are fearful, and they are never condemning of us. And so what I love most about the concept of oneness, that we are one with that infinite presence, is that out of that we become inner-directed rather than outer-directed. We become inner-directed listening to our heart and to our spirit rather than listening to what the outside authority tells us we should be doing. We aren't a religion of shoulds and oughts and threats and damnation. Instead, we are a religion of love and of freedom and of creativity and creative expression. When we are guided by our spirit, the choices that we make are actually choices that are good for all. They're good for everyone. We would never make a decision from our heart and our spirit that was harmful to anyone else. And so in the Science of Mind textbook, Ernest Holmes speaks of this. He says, how then are we going to know what is right and what is wrong? We are not going to know. We already do know. Every man knows right from wrong in its broadest sense. And he also says, the criterion for any man as to what is right or wrong for him is not to be found in some other man's judgment. The criterion is, does the thing I wish to do express more life, more happiness, more peace to myself, and at the same time harm no one? If it does, then it is right. We talked about this on our Zoom call this week. How do you decipher between the voice of your intuition and the voice of your ego? And that biggest answer was it just feels right. There's no more wrestling. There's no indecisiveness. There's no trying to decide if this is right or wrong. It just feels right. And with that comes a sense of peace around it. When we are guided by our heart and guided by our spirit, we get to live a life of spontaneity. We get to live a life of greater freedom because we don't have some outside entity telling us what we should and shouldn't be doing. So it makes life feel freer. When we live from an awareness of our oneness with everyone and everything, then we feel a part of the oneness. We feel that we are part of this family of humanity. We feel that the family of humanity isn't just humans, but we are part of this family and this oneness with all animals and all trees and the clouds and the sky and the whole of things. And as we come to feel that we are one with all of that, what happens is we come to care more. We care more about other people, and we care more about the planet and ecology. When we come from that place of oneness, it makes us automatically want to help. And then we want everyone to succeed, and we want everyone to thrive. You know, that is the thing that motivates me to participate in organizations that reach out and help and are making a difference in the world, that make me want to participate in organizations that are reaching across the aisle and wanting to understand people who have a different perspective, like Braver Angels, where they are wanting Democrats and Republicans to come together and to understand where the other person is coming from. That oneness and the experience and the knowing of oneness is the thing that motivates me to do that. Because when I feel that there's a rift and that there is animosity and discord, it feels painful to me because I'm so aware of that oneness and how good it feels when we live from that place of oneness. In oneness with our humanity, what happens is we look for our commonality instead of looking for and at our differences. And out of that realization of oneness, we realize that we are all valuable, that we are all just as important as everyone else. In the book, The Mystic Heart by Wayne Teasdale, he says, spirituality serves as our greatest single resource for changing our centuries-old trajectory of violence and division. Spirituality is profoundly transformative. My spirituality has been profoundly transformative in my life. I am so different than I was before I began this path. So much more open-hearted and loving and caring and generous and love people more and love life more than I did before. And so lastly, that concept of oneness and understanding that we are actually part of the whole, part of the one and only presence, that our life actually is that life of God unfolding itself, makes us realize that nothing is being withheld from us. And the result of that is just what I said. We become more kind and more generous and more loving because we aren't coming from a place of fear. We aren't coming from a place that there isn't enough because we live in abundance. We aren't coming from a place that I am not enough. So we automatically come from our wholeness and from our love. When we're coming from oneness, we're automatically coming from that place that we are family. And therefore, I can come to you open-hearted and with care. And so how has walking this spiritual path changed you? That's what I want you to write down. How has walking the spiritual path that you are on, how has the philosophy of Centers for Spiritual Living changed you? And how has walking this spiritual path changed your life? What is different about your life now as a result of walking this path? As a result of this path, what are you inspired to do? And how are you inspired to be? As a result of your own spiritual understanding, what are you inspired to be, and what are you inspired to do? As the spiritual leader of Living Beyond Limits, I want to know how I can support you more, how I can better support you as you walk this spiritual path. Is there a class that you want to take or a book study that you would like to do? Would you like to become a part of a care group, which means a group of 4 to 5 people who meet every couple of weeks on Zoom, who just get to connect with each other and support each other, who then in between maybe reach out if somebody needs some help or ask for some assistance and helps them, to call each other on the phone, to be a little care group of each other? We sent out a survey last week, and if you have not yet responded, I ask you to do so, because we, as Living Beyond Limits, want to know how we can better support you, especially as we move through this pandemic and through not being together physically. And we've gotten responses back, and some of the people who have responded actually said the way that they would like to be supported and the thing that they would like to have happen is for people in the community to reach out to the people who are lonely. They're asking for people to call them, to contact them. And so I have an invitation for you this week also, which is to extend your heart and to extend your love to your community and to the people in your community, this fellow community of Living Beyond Limits. And next weekend is Valentine's Day. And so I invite you also to maybe send a note to a couple people that you care about, that you feel connected to, just to let them know you're thinking about them. Just to let them know that they are important to you as a way to send them some of your love. I invite you to continue to walk this spiritual path, bringing your spirit into this world in a way that blesses others. And as you walk this path and bring your spirit into the world, you will absolutely be living a life that is deeper and richer and more satisfying to your spirit. And so blessings to you on this path of oneness, this path of God as love, this path of bringing your spirit into this world. So blessings to each and every single one of you. And so I invite you to join me in an affirmative prayer. And so right now I take my attention to the truth that yes, indeed, there is only one. This one presence that is a presence of love and a presence of creativity. That is the thing from which all life and everything that exists has sprung forth out of. This presence of good. This boundlessness. That we each and every single one of us live and move and have our beingness in this presence, this thing we call the divine, spirit, God, love. Recognizing that it is here right now unfolding itself in us and through us, unfolding itself in our lives and through our lives as an abundance of good, that it is absolutely God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom, and that we live in that kingdom right this moment, that everything we could want or need is already available because we are one with it. We are one with all the potential and all of the good and all of the love and all of the peace and all of the wholeness and all of the power. And it is the very nature of God to unfold itself as all of those things within us and through us. And so today we come to this world as a presence of love and peace. We come to this world as a bringer of light and a bringer of good, an ever unending good. And so we bring this presence everywhere we go, and we bless the world with our energy, with our consciousness, with our words, and with our actions. And so I also recognize right now that this same activity is everywhere on this planet. That same presence is unfolding itself in and through every single person, in and through every politician, in and through every decision maker, in and through the government in every aspect of it, in and through each and every single one of us, as perfect decisions and perfect action, as love and good without bound, as perfection and harmony and order. And for that, I am so grateful. And so I hold to that truth. I claim it and I see it and I know it is the truth. And so I release this word into the creative law of the universe, knowing that it is unfolding itself because we have placed our attention there and because we have said yes to this. And so in faith and in confidence, I release this prayer and I say, and so it is. And so I have just a couple of invitations for you. One is to join us on Thursday nights on Zoom. We are doing connection and spiritual practice. I believe that we are going to soon start a book study. So actually, if you have a suggestion of a book that you would like to do a book study on, you can email that to me at livingbeyondlimitscsl@gmail.com. Love to hear your suggestions. We're probably going to start a book study in a couple of weeks. If you have not joined our Zoom, you can get on our email list if you aren't already on it by emailing us at that same email address and give us your email address and we will get you on our prayer list. On our email list. Also, we have Ministry of Prayer continuing during this time. So if you have a prayer request, we are happy to support you in doing affirmative prayer for you during the week between now and the next weekend. So if you have a prayer request, will you please call or email or text Barbara Conant? Or if you don't have her information, you can email me at that livingbeyondlimits@gmail.com address. We also have prayer shawls. If you would like to be wrapped in that energy of prayer, the practitioners will pray over it for your specific need or want and gift that prayer shawl to you, or you can gift it to somebody else who would like to be wrapped in prayer. We invite you to join our YouTube channel, Living Beyond Limits, Center for Spiritual Living, which gives you a one-click access to all of our talks. And last, I would like to thank you so much for your ongoing support of Living Beyond Limits, for your ongoing support of each other, and know that this community is holding you in the light, that we are holding you in love, and that we look so forward to seeing you again soon. So until then, lots of love to you. Know that you are loved.